You're listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story. From Darwin, Australia, this is your host, Lucy Van Sambeek. Back to Talk the Walk. My guest this week I like to think of as a larger-than-life culture man with a big heart, born into a big Gumbinya family. I spotted Bernard K. Edwards a few months ago when I was wandering through Bellingen and I found him working on a painting outside his shop. Bernard is a storyteller. It wasn't long before I discovered his passion for promoting mental health amongst Indigenous young people, experiencing mental health issues who have lost their way. He takes a shot at Western counselling approaches, saying talk therapies don't work, and I laugh. Bernard began to share with me insights into one aspect of his work, a unique program taking people out on country to find themselves. I even got to experience this myself when I accompanied Bernard to the beautiful Never Never River in the Promised Land for what I can only describe as a cultural healing with Mother Nature. Through skills of deep listening and knowledge of Aboriginal lore, Bernard has an ability to connect with Mother Earth, to bring insight and awareness to anyone he is working with. But there is much more to this man than meets the eye. Bernard is founder of BKE Consultancy, a mixture of multimedia platforms of art, photography, short film and poetry. So Bernard, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon on this gorgeous day in Bello.
You're very welcome, Lucy.
So I wanted to interview you, Bernard, because to me, you are doing what a lot of white fellas are trying to do in formal counselling organisations, but often missing the mark. They can't reach out and engage with Aboriginal young people the way you obviously can. You do this out of the generosity of your own heart, with no funding and often very little payment. From my experience, what you offer is something beautiful and transformational. Can you share a bit about the process of your healing work? And how would you explain it to people when they ask about what you do?
I guess for me it stems from my own personal journey that I've embarked on and the patterns that I've found sitting in counselling sessions, life coaching sessions, is you're not the one doing a lot of talking as such, whereas the counsellor is doing a lot of talking and a lot of directing and a lot of thinking that they know who I am just by paperwork. It's a completely different world when you sit with a counsellor, or take away the entitlement of a counsellor, when you sit with somebody who has the ability to just listen. That to me is where all the answers lie. You could sit in a counselling session for 2 hours and be told about all these strategies and these therapeutical approaches and how to be present in what you're going through or what you need to deal with. Or most people, when they go to counselling, they ask, what's wrong with me? How can you help me? Not realising that they are their own answer. And when that individual person has the ability to tell their story and to express themselves openly, respectfully and consciously, then they'll find that within that Western setting, they've just answered their own problems. Now, for what I do, that's beautiful when people get to that point. But there's something a little bit more that for me helps drop the consciousness into a much deeper space of maintaining the tools to be able to really train yourself in your own self recovery, and that's the connection with Mother Earth. You are Mother Earth, and Mother Earth is you. And the sooner that people start to get a grip of that and sit with that in a respectful manner, the quicker we can all help recover each other and get to a point where we're hitting a support foundation of different mediums, like you said, in art, photography, poetry, or even just a good old yarn around a campfire or by the river or anywhere. And that's what I like to do with a lot of people, is just sit and not talk about the obvious stuff, because that's where the triggers are. So if we could understand what the triggers are, then we don't have to go straight to the triggers, because the triggers will eventually surface themselves. Mm-hmm. And when you understand how to use your eye accessing cues as well as reading body language, those triggers are ever sitting on the surface waiting to go, hello, that's who I am, and this is what's going on for me, without saying, Lucy, what's wrong with you?
Mm.
This is what's wrong with you, and this is what you need to do. Well, me as a person, I don't need to tell you what it is that you need to do for you, because you already have the answers, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But the other answer sits with reassurance and stepping outside the box of paper and asking Mother Earth to give you reassurance that she's listening, because that paper can't have, yeah? Paper can't have that connection. Of course it can, because it comes from trees, but it's been modified and processed to a point where it's lost its memory, that tree. And people use that paper to write down all their reports and analytical summaries and all this kind of stuff. Whereas if they were to look at that paper as a piece of bark or a piece of Mother Nature, then it becomes a different world. It becomes the real world where there's real connection that's dropped in. For example, me and another person that I've been working with, we've done a piece of artwork together, and she had a lot going on, young person, and I ended up drawing a painting for her about where she was at. And today she uses that painting to go back on to remind herself about her connection to that conversation, to that place, and to those tools that surface for her.
Mm.
So you could transform a lot of Western approaches in a much more simple, non-complex manner by yarning with Mother Earth.
Mm. And you've studied some of those Western approaches, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, and I'm about to enrol in some more study with those approaches, just for my own benefit of skilling myself up a little bit more. And I'd mentioned a couple of those tools and approaches earlier in eye accessing cues and body language and deep listening. I can't highlight that enough.
Mm.
And like a good example of deep listening is I was only on a video yesterday of me doing a video of myself walking around the Oval, and my body was telling me things, and those things were, keep going. You got no cramps going on. You got no stress or strain in your arms or your legs or your knees, or there's no pain coming around. And the breathing was quite enabling me to talk while I was walking, which is a much different sign than 2 years ago, because it would have been much heavier and harder for me to talk while I'm walking on that video. So the deep listening for me is just me tapping into my own body and allowing my body to tell me what's going on. You know, if you get a cramp, most people say, you know, walk through it or get over it or deal with it. If they define how dealing with a cramp should be, then nobody ever says, just slow down a little bit, you know, and just be at one with that cramp,
mm-hmm.
you know, and walk yourself slower, connect with the muscle that's cramping up and talk to that muscle, you know. Come on, Achilles tendon, give me a break, you know, I'm nearly there. I've got 3K to go or something.
So it sounds like the messages and the lessons of living, if you like, Mother Earth is there providing those for us.
Well, she's been doing that since time ever began. And if we as human beings can tap into that pure essence of how we can connect with her, then she's been doing it forever and she's not going to stop for no means. And we as her children just need to learn a little bit about what's coming out of the womb that we were born from as a human race, and that's to, you know, listen to all of our relations, listen to those birds and the wind and the trees and the fish and the butterfly and the grasshoppers that come around us and the cicadas that we hear, you know, bellowing in the mountain, echoing away to us, telling us stories. But we always block them fellas out as people generally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the way that we were born and bred to do that. We were born and bred, each for their own, of course, but we were born into a system where it's cement cities, and it's construction and it's economy and it's all this kind of stuff that's very, very Western, and it's hard growing into that being born into that cycle.
Well, you're looking at a person who was born into that, so it's much more challenging for us to tune into these messages from nature because we're so distant from it.
But there are people that I know that are from the same background that have a lot of heavy connection to Mother Earth.
Mm.
And that's the people of hope for me. The people that have the time to listen, you know, shut the mouth. Like this spirit, it doesn't have a mouth. And if people remember the 2000 Olympic Games when the opening ceremony came on, there was a big spirit raised in representation of the Aboriginal culture. And I found myself questioning, why doesn't that spirit have a mouth like the rest of us? And the answer came to me a few years ago that, of course, Bernard, if you don't have a mouth, you can't pass judgment. And therefore, a lot of your talk is by mental telepathy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking to yourself, people say, oh, he's crazy. Mm-hmm. Look at how he's talking to himself all the time, mm-hmm. you know? Not realising that person over there talking to themselves is a gift of the Creator, you know?
Because that could be easily interpreted as a mental health illness, couldn't it?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. If we were to do a study on that kind of mental health angle, I wonder how many of us have been misdiagnosed for the wrong illnesses and being inhaled with all of these Western medicines that, in my firm belief, don't serve. It's only serving the economy of the Western market. And we just need to, as people, start to shut our mouths down a little bit and open our ears up a little bit more, and then we can start to tap into what's pure. That's the purity of it. You only got to call out to the birds. People should try it. Call out to the birds and say, you know, good morning, birds, and then give yourself, in your peripheral vision, time. And you see how many birds come by and say hello, whether you don't see them and you hear them, or you hear them and see them. That's how you can connect with Mother Earth.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, well, recall from your experience, is that time that you took me out on country. And for me, it was a very spiritual experience. I remember standing in the river, and out of the blue, you said, if I told you that you are connected to Northeast Arnhem Land right now, what would you say? Obviously, that was a very emotional point for me, because I had no idea that I still had unresolved emotions from 2013 when I had to suddenly up and leave my work in Yirrkala. It came as quite a shock. You knew absolutely nothing about my history and connection to that part of the country, yet you felt something there. You also went on to tell me about our ability to connect through water, that everyone and everything is connected. You said that if the plug was pulled from the bottom of the ocean, then we would be able to walk to the other side of the world, and that I was connected to Northeast Arnhem Land in that moment. This was so comforting to know. What you have is such a special gift. Can you talk a bit more about what's actually happening when you're out on country with people, and how this form of communication with the land happens for you?
We've got to drop a line back into a word or a quote that we know as common sense. So, like pulling the plug out of the ocean, when we do that, then we're all... It's like we look at the same moon at the same time from different spheres, yeah?
Mm.
If we see the same thing at the same time, are we really that far apart?
No.
We're not, are we? So, if we're in the same classroom and we're looking at the same teaching, we're in the same place at the same time. So, that being said, if we were to pull the plug... And then all the water had dissipated back into the womb of Mother Earth, yeah? We can walk from here to Africa as long as it's going to take us. But when you look at the biggest picture, we're only one place. We've got our cousin family over there in Saturn.
Mm.
And we've got all these other places in the universe that is far greater than we can ever imagine,
mm.
you know? And scientists are starting to realise that they're going to start tapping into more places that, wow, we didn't know that was there at all, you know? So we're focusing on the external part of our galaxy, and we can't even solve the problems to our internal part of our galaxy. So water, getting to that element of life, we're all born through water. When you look at the pregnancy phases of a child coming through, there has to be enough water in that lady's womb to give earth and life and creation to that baby coming through. And the fetus is, oh man, I don't even have one, but I come from one. And my daughter comes from one. And she has one herself. She has it. She has an element of creation. And I'm just grateful for how I've experienced that, and how people don't pay enough attention to that. because that there is the essence and the giver of life, is that process for that 9-month cycle to come through. And imagine if there was no water inside that womb. Not much is going to be happening, hey?
No life.
No life. It's just dry and arid, and there's no heartbeat. There's no nothing, you know. And we're on the way to that with Mother Earth as we speak. So with water is a forever connection. We got water down under the land, and we got water that comes from above us called rain, yeah? So the same rain up in Yirrkala is the same rain here. And the same water that goes around this land of Australia is all connected, yeah? We call it the Pacific up there. It's the Arafura Sea. So if you were to put a bottle in here and write a note in it to your grandparents up in Yirrkala, there's every chance that they could or they couldn't get it. That's up to the universe and a little element called tide. It depends on which way that current's going. But for me to tell you that you're still related and connected to the people up in Yirrkala is so... It's common sense for me to suggest that and say that, because the same thing that's up there is the same thing here, you know? Like, these trees here, they all related to the same trees up there, you know? And the same wind goes through these trees here is what they do up there. So a cousin of mine said one day, if I could send my voice in the wind to you, this is what it would say. And he used the words of, I love you. And over the phone, his partner, far away, walked outside, and this big gust of wind hit her at that exact same time. You know, so all these experiences, for me, have equated to a summation of true fact. They're not a research component by any stretch of the imagination. They're a fact that Mother Earth has shown me. What she shows me outweighs any university degree or anything to do with... learning a different way of being educated. I mean, we all have to be, no matter whether we're in 1821 or 300 BC, it does not matter. We all have to be learned and trained and taught by human element, yeah? Or Homo sapiens.
Apparently.
You know, apparently, you know? But we also need to learn who our master teacher is, you know? And that's the one that we keep flogging off for friggin' fracking and all this kind of stuff going on, and there's quarries around this land that we're on right now that are just sitting there doing nothing. They're like big wounds, you know, big wounds in Mother Earth. And we live here rent free. We don't pay her a single cent in rent. If you look at it from a landlord's point of view, she's never asked for any cent in rent at all. She just keeps sustaining the bruises and the heartache and misery that we keep chucking at her. And I mean, if people could just see themselves being Mother Earth, if you could empathise and put yourself in that position of being the whole of this Earth, for her to be a nervous system that's just gone wrong, yeah? Fracking in New South Wales and uranium mines in Western Australia, they're like really bad, heavy joint pains for her. And she's forever wondering, what did I do wrong to deserve this, you know? And we as a people have no idea how we're damaging her, because we're driven by an economy system that is only ever about that. It's only ever about money, and it's only ever about how much money I got compared to you, you know? It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with listening and putting your feet on the land like you did out in the promised land, you know, and letting that water run straight through you, you know? And those rocks that you stood on out there, they're the rocks that connect you up to Yirrkala. And the wind that came through you that day is the same wind and the same sun that shines on you here in Gumbangada, same as up in Yirrkala. Isn't that common sense?
So can you speak a bit more about healing the planet? Because it seems to me like, you know, we can't heal the planet until we heal ourselves. But also the planet is willing to show us the way and how to do that by us being able to tune into nature and the planet. It has the messages for us if we only listen and would respond to that. Can you talk a bit more about, I guess, what I see as a way forward in helping the planet repair?
In this world today, we've got all these branding names that we use to identify a race of people, yeah? We've got an Eastern culture, we've got a Western culture, we've got native people. We've got all types of people. If we go back to the people who don't own this land but belong to this land, because they're the knowledge holders, they have the language and they have the tools and connections on how to restore Mother. If we put down our pens and papers and our ego, if we chuck all that out the window, and if we just sit with a heartbeat to the sound of the wind or natural tools like a yidiki or clapsticks or flutes from Native America or Peru. The simple answer lies with all of the native people around the world that have connections to the forest, that have been witnessed and been heartbroken about seeing their home, their land, being destroyed in front of them by bulldozers. They are the ones that have the answers to how we could heal this planet. And there's already countries going in the right direction in terms of recycling stuff. We can easily turn it around if we drop everything. I've always had this thing, Lucy, if I ever had a powerful voice to make significant change, this is how it would be. I'd shut down the whole economy, imports and exports, with Australia. So every economy or every import and export that's going in and out of Australia, I'd shut it down. I'd give it a 3-year cycle, yeah? The first year is going to be called awareness. So that means the whole nation goes to a point of awareness. And we individually look back on ourselves and go, who am I? That's the name of your classroom for the first 12 months. Who am I? Same with your mum, same with your dad, same with your nan, same with your pop, same with your children. Who am I? And live for the first 3 years in this whole process. Live with what we have in this country. We've got enough to live on in here. You know, we don't need anything from China or anything from outside this country at this stage. We can clean this place up in 3 years' time. You know, the first year would be called awareness, the second year would be called balance, and the third year would be called integration. And that's a beautiful segue in that. Right, now how do we integrate respectfully and sufficiently our new approach on imports and exports in the most respectful way to Mother Earth? And are we respecting the culture of where those imports and exports are coming from and going to? The answer to that is simple. No, we don't, because we're driven by money. We're driven by money to the degree where if we don't have it, we go crazy. Oh my God, I don't even know how I'm going to pay for my mortgage next week. And it's a worry. It's a serious worry. Like, I've never been in a position to have a mortgage, and I don't think that I'd like to be in a position to have a mortgage. I'd like to be in a position where I could walk this land without a worry. That would be a much better mortgage for me to have to take on. But the answer is, that's the three simple strategies. First year, awareness. Second year is, right, how do we balance our awareness? All right, that's the approach for stage two, or the second year, is how do we take what we've just learnt from the first year of our awareness? And what did we get out of our awareness? What have we learnt about ourselves? What values and beliefs can we bring to our balancing stage of the second year? How could we bring that to the fore and go, rightio, now I know who I am and I know where I came from. Now I'm in a much better position to give holistically and give without the expectation of getting back.
These three elements that you talk about, they sound very similar to the kind of cycle you might invite individuals into when you're counselling or whatever you want to call that, having a yarn with people. The way you were talking about it then, developing an awareness of who we are. I mean, that's something we can do as individuals, not just as communities and as the earth. And then going into a stage of balance and learning about, okay, what have I learnt from that process? What do I know about myself? What are my values? And then immigrating everything that you've learnt into a new self. Am I right? Is this kind of similar to your process that you do with people on an individual level?
Well, on an individual level, each case is different because we've got each person with different problems, but they're from the same place. Problems only can ever occur from a perceptual position outside of myself, yeah? So perceptual position number one is me. That's how it sounds in language. Perceptual position number two is you. And there's five perceptual positions that I've learnt from Western tools. Don't worry about the other three, just focus on those two, me and you. And that's as far as we need to get to, really, because everything else falls in line naturally after that. So if I focus on me and how I deal with me, then I'm in a better position then to support you, yeah?
Mm.
Whereas if it's you chucking ego, chucking assumptions, chucking judgment, chucking fear at me, we're not getting anywhere. So if we turn me into the culture of Aboriginal people and you into the culture of colonised people or Western people,
mm-hmm.
we can only ever be judged upon by perceptual position number two. But then there's the ability to flip it, yeah? We then become number two and you become number one. You know, it's very hard to follow this kind of conversation when you've got the language of me and you or one and two. But when it's drawn on a board, which is much easier for people to experience,
mm-hmm.
they then use their visual, auditory kinesthetics to appreciate these lessons that are simple. If I take care of me, I'm in a position to take care of you. And if you're in a position to take care of you, then I know that I can rely on you if I need you. So what I like to do with people when they're in those positions is focus on that present feeling that they've got going on. Where are they? Are they still in the car? Are they still back in the town?
Mm.
Or are they here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are they? Because the body language tells you, yeah? Their eyes are moving around, they're twitching, they're not calm. Calmness is a sign of being present.
So you're really trying to get people to be in the present moment. And if they're not, that's a doorway to where?
To themselves. That's the doorway to themselves. Like if we get a simple, yeah, when you're on the operating table and the doctors and the surgeons have got to transform your life and hopefully make it better, what do? They pretty much shut your body down, don't they?
Mm.
You know, they shut off everything so that they're at a place of peace where no nervous system or no organism or no muscles are going to get damaged.
Mm.
They're all relaxed. That's where the best outcomes come from. So if we can do that while we've still got a heartbeat, hello change, hello improvement, hello me. Wow. We do that when we sleep. They call dreams. How much attention do we pay to our own dreams? You know, where did I astro travel to last night? All of these things are simple signs of how your inner ability, your spirit tells you what's going on. If you've got the ability to tap into it, then please share it with other people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my message really about that. But people come with their own challenges and their own problems. And when they get to a point of talking about their choices, I had a shirt on. Oh, I got it on now, actually. It's got a deadly choices on it. And I was talking about this yesterday. The only deadly choice that you make is the one that you own, yeah? So it's irrelevant of any health promotion or any mental health promotion. Take all of those strategies of promoting and all that kind of stuff, take it away. If you don't own your own choice and accept your own choice, that ain't no deadly choice at all, you know? Because you're pawning it off to another system that's outside of you, which is perceptual position number two or three, which is them. So you're taking it out of your own ownership and your own ability to really take in who you are. Because if you're taking in other people's stuff, then it starts to become heavy. Oh, now I've got to go and help her move her furniture, and then I've got to go and mow her lawn, and I've got to go and see this other uncle around here because he needs me to go and get bread and milk for him. You find yourself caught up in a position where you're helping and nurturing other people. Don't get me wrong, that's all beautiful. But if you have your own balance, if you have your own awareness, balance and integration, then you can do all of those three things without the negative impact that would normally come, which is called stress. Don't have no time in the bloody day to even do the things that I want to do because you're busy doing things for other people, not realising the more you slowly breathe in and appreciate what's happening in that present moment with that auntie over to this uncle. And then when you get home and summarise, how was my day, Bernard? You find yourself in a position where, well, I do. I find myself in a position where I don't bother asking those questions no more. I just have to look up and my day's already answered. There it is. It's directly above us. We call them the stars and the moon. And they tell me how my day was. If it's cloudy, well, you had a big day. If it's nice and shiny with the moon coming out nice and bright, you've had a fabulous day. Either way, you've had a good day. You know, whether it's up or down, doesn't matter. You've survived it.
Can you speak about what might be some of the challenges or struggles that people face that make it just that much more harder for people to come around to this sense of awareness about themselves, getting balance in their lives and integrating what they've learnt? I imagine it's things like shame, pain, trauma, blame. Can you speak about what those things are and how you might work through that with people?
When we're in our oceanic state, which is when we're born, we go through life into a place where we experience these things called shame, acceptance, fear, humility, heartache, happiness. All of those emotions and those feelings we experience as individual people. The biggest thing is, am I going to be accepted if I walk into that pub? And where that question comes from is from a past experience, a repetitive past experience of being labelled, of being branded, of being stigmatised by what really isn't your problem in the first place. But I've taken it on, you know. And that's that perceptual position number two coming into play quite heavy, you know. I got to dress this way because that's the only way society accepts me.
It could also be based on experiences of quite severe racism, couldn't it?
It could be based on...
Which is a real thing.
Oh, it's society. A breathing organism.
And, and so, yeah, how do you work with someone who's taken on that level of racism when we know that really that's something that should be dealt with in a justice sense?
In a social justice sense, from an individual perspective, we've got to see, from that oceanic state, we've come so far and we measure ourselves by how old we are, yeah? So let's say, you know, I'm 50 right now, and back at the age of 21, I had this traumatic event, this experience. People always say you can't turn back time, but you can. They follow without the mouth, that mental telepathy. Anybody can go back in time and get into that place, mm-hmm. where that trigger was, stay in that place, and then be given the tools to switch the emotion of that event, yeah, and then amplify it with the opposite, you know.
This sounds like trauma-informed practice to me.
Is that what you fellas call it?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
I call it a yarn. But we can get back into that place, and then we can then start to shift our belief system, you know, because that's where it is, right there. That's where that problem occurred. And you can call it whatever you want, shame, racism, discrimination, you know, you've lost a family member, trauma, grief, loss, depression, all of it. Then you go back further from a 50-year-old person back to the 21-year-old event to maybe a 6-year-old event. So the solution is, if you go back to the initial place of where that was born from, and don't own that, because it's not yours. Yes, it's impacted you, but if you're not the one who's caused it, then it's not your problem. If it's happened outside of you, it's not yours. We as human beings take it on. Why? Because it's impacted us the most. And then we walk from 6 all the way through to 50. I'm not going to worry about that no more, because I don't want to talk about it. Don't ask me these questions no more about how I deal with this, Lucy, because I'm not going to give you an answer. That's the belief, the behaviour and the attitude of somebody who is in denial of who they really are. If you go back and claim that boy, or you go back and claim that girl, don't matter what it is. It could be, you know, being sexually abused or mentally harmed or physically assaulted. The most heaviest pain that you got in your body, you feel it in your body, you know, and your body is the solution to it. Go back and acknowledge and own that boy or that girl who's sitting in that shameful place. Don't want to talk about it, place. Nobody's ever going to believe me anyway, place. And then deal with that back there, with the support of people that have got the ability to help you. And then see, when you walk past those events, that 6-year-old boy's event, if you go prior to that to a place where you can remember, if you're that good at your own memory, if you go to a place before that event and live in the opposite of what that experience was, that negative experience, then walk past that event, and if you find yourself being triggered again, and that feels like nervousness or anxiety or shaken or whatever, you know that you haven't dealt with it properly, you know. You're your own teacher at that. You don't need anybody to teach you. You just need somebody to help you, you know. Now, Lucy, you go back there and you deal with that particular moment in your life, and I'll stand here and watch you. And if you present to me signs of twitching when you get to that particular point, we know that you haven't been dealing, that's not anchoring enough for you, you know. So bang, my only job is to tell you the truth of what I see. I noticed, Lucy, that when you came past that point, you're a completely different person. You just walk freely, straight past it. Now that's the solution to dealing with that stuff. We have to go backwards before we can go forward, you know. And as a nation, we always get stigmatised, you know, stop living in the past, you black fellas, you know, all the time. Not realising that the past is the solution to our future, particularly in our present state. And now it's being picked up by Western practices. And that's why you're sitting here asking me these questions, Lucy.
I've prepared a lot of questions and I've hardly even touched them, but I'm aware that we have about 5 minutes left. I just wanted to ask you, can you share a story? What I like to call sparkling moments, where you've seen a real shift in someone or a community or whatever it might be because of the work that you're doing with people, whether that's in Bellow or elsewhere.
Well, there's a bloke that I haven't seen since this camp. I went on this camp up in the hinterlands of the Gold Coast, and I was a staff member on this camp, and my role was to be an elder in the West, which is sitting in a sweat lodge and making sure that all of the participants in that sweat lodge that are in the vicinity of me remain quiet. Now, directly in front of me is a door where it opens to receive the first light, second light, third light, fourth light. And those that have experienced sweat lodging understand the steam that gets into those places. And there was a particular bloke who was to the right, in my view, looking out the door, who sat in that position because he wanted to get out quick if he needed to. And that was our role, to make sure that people were in a safe position if they were dealing with any anxiety or claustrophobia, or we place them in a position where they can get out safely. This particular fellow made it through the first couple of rounds, and when we opened the light up on the second round, he started to display a lot of anxiety, and he was questioning his ability to be there at the end, and he wanted out. We were sitting on sand at this particular camp, and body language and silent communication is what helped. So I grabbed his attention by waving to him, and then I pointed at him, and then I put my thumb up. So that tells somebody who's in tune, you, are you okay?
And you've been noticed. You're watching and someone's caring.
Someone's caring, yeah. So he responded to me and he shook his head. He said, no, I'm not, without even opening his mouth. And I said, good, thank you for letting me know that, you know. Now watch me, is what I said to him. So I ended up getting all the sand and putting it all over my arms, pretty much having a wash with sand. Because in that particular place, you need something to cool you down and sustain your coolness. Say hello to sand. Sand does it perfectly. So he made it through to round three. Then he wanted out even more. And he was ready to get up and get out of that lodge. And I said to him, you only got one more round to go, brother. So it was like just one to go, geez, one to go. And then he was like this here, well, what else can I do, you know? And the last tool that I'd given him was to shut your mouth and breathe through your navel cavity. Let the hairs that's inside your nose take control of all the heat that's coming in, and let it filter you properly. By round four, he wanted to keep going.
Wow.
You know? He was in a position where he walked in unsure of himself, and in that whole four-round process, his whole confidence had changed to being a man that's brimming with confidence. Just by two simple tools and a man that believed in him. That's all he ever needed. And it's all he was lacking in a greater part of his life, you know. So, I mean, we've got the ability as human beings to support change in other people, but we have to look in the water, not the mirror, because that's where the mirrors are born from, water. Prior to colonisation, we had to look into the water to see who we are, you know, or look at our shadow on the land. That's who we truly are, right there. Not a mirror where we could put makeup on and pick our eyebrows and all of this kind of stuff.
So another takeaway task for today is to go and look in some water?
Oh, please do. Please do. And if you were to accept yourself, if you look into the water and then you drop a rock directly at your reflection, have a look at how much you dissolve yourself, but how much you come back to yourself. And that's the gift of Nyalu, the gift of water. If you keep doing that, you're starting to accept who you really are every single time. Or if you're going to stand in front of the mirror, don't look at anything else apart from the eyes that are looking back at you. That's the only place you should be looking at. That's who's looking at you. And if you're going to talk, talk to yourself. Don't open your mouth. What is your problem? And how are you going to deal with it, Bernard?
So just before we finish up, I wanted to ask you about this painting because you've talked about it a little bit today. And what we might do, if it's okay with you, is maybe take a photo of you holding it. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
So that people can see what you've been talking about. Is there anything else you wanted to say about that painting?
That's sold. No, the painting that we're talking about is my very first attempt at spirit form. And it's done on a black base on a canvas board. And it has a very ochre-y identity in terms of its border. So its arms and its legs and its head form is all in the colour of ochre. And then the colour of white represents the light, and the colour of yellow represents the transformation of light. The colour of red that you'll see is the blood spilt from all of our people. And the colour of blue is the colour of the sky and water. And then so on, it just filters itself all the way out. And the canvas is pretty much me, looking back at me in spirit form. This canvas in particular I call Nyalungi Mimi Mindi, which is Clever Man's Spirit. And there is a particular person down in Nambucca who's interested in buying it. But this piece talks everything of what I've spoken about, everything about who I am, is in this piece of canvas. If we look at the dots in particular, how they go from big to small, then we're looking at filtering patterns of those past problems and those present problems. And where did I go wrong? And how can I make it better for me? We have to ask ourselves those questions before we could move on. So that's what that piece is pretty much about, and that's what we're looking at, and that's pretty much how I operate, Lucy.
If people would like to find out more about your work, find you on social media, buy a painting, or just find out more about who you are, how might they contact you?
Well, in the social media world, they can jump onto Facebook and look for Bernard Kelly Edwards, or there's another page called BKE. You can also email me at bkeconsultancy79@hotmail.com, or you can ask your friend Lucy how she got in touch with me.
And then, yeah, I reckon rock into Bello, go and find your art shop and just hang out there for a while.
Well, that's how it happened for you. I am going to America in 24 days' time. So if you want to connect before then, chuck me an email. Or when we get back, I'm going to start to go a bit heavy on workshops and that kind of stuff. But until then, my head is just stuck in the trip to America. So,
and we didn't even get to talk about that. But maybe when you get back, I would love to come back and talk to you again.
Yeah. That's darari, which is that's good. So thank you for listening and have a good day.
Thank you so much, Bernard, going out of your way to host me today in your beautiful little shop. So if you're ever in Bellingen, please call in and take a look. There's some fabulous artwork here, and he even paints little coffee cups, takeaway coffee cups. So, you know, they're all the rage at the moment. And you've got a lot going on in your life. So, yeah, I appreciate you taking the time out, an hour on this gorgeous afternoon, to talk to me.
I'm sorry I didn't have enough time to, because we could sit for hours. I know what we're like, but it's a thing called obligations with job network providers is what's pulling me out this door.
All right. Thank you.
No worries.
Thanks for listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story, music by Flashback Digital. You can access all the show notes from today's podcast at www.metaphoricallyspeaking.com.au. I'm currently on the lookout for inspiring interviewees. If you or someone you know is walking the talk in their work or community, then I'd love to hear from you. You can drop me an email at lucy@metaphoricallyspeaking.com.au or visit my contact page on the Metaphorically Speaking website. Until next time, just keep on walking.